Okay, folks, let's get started. Now, this is the April 23rd meeting of the Pacifica National Board. I'll ask our Secretary, Afian Wangaza, to call the roll.
Shahram Agamir.
Present.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Andrea Turner.
Excused absence. She's...
Joseph Wanzala.
Here.
Sean O'Brien.
Present.
Leslie Radford. Summer Reese.
She will be here.
Rico Ross.
He will be here too.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
Alberto Luera.
Present.
George Ryder.
Here.
Richard Uzel.
Here.
Nia Bediaco.
Present.
Kathy Davis. She's on her way. Mr. Plainford, she'll be here shortly. Jennifer Jaeger.
Here.
Alex Steinberg.
Present.
Alonzo Brown.
Excused absence.
Campbell Johnson.
Here.
Kimmery Orendorf. Marcel Reed.
Present.
Jim Bennett.
Excused absence.
Afia Wangaza. Present.
Okay, we have three people who have asked for excused absences. Andrea Turner had a work emergency, was planning on being here. Alonzo Brown, I gather, had a family emergency. And Jim Bennett is involved in activities at his station and has let us know long in advance he couldn't make it. Is there any objection to excused absences for those three members? Hearing none, if you were recorded as such.
I'm here, George.
our staff, Arlene is here. LaVarne is not here, which she also has a family emergency. I gather her mother is quite ill and hopes to be here this evening.
Actually, she's trying to fly in early tomorrow morning.
Early tomorrow morning. Okay, so that necessitates some changes in the agenda. Which in any case is what's in front of us now, is to approve the agenda for, as I have it in front of you, it's to approve the agenda just for this morning. I'd like to ask that we in fact approve the open agenda for the meeting, partly because I would rather be doing this when we begin the meeting this evening, when I expect to have more public presence, that I would like to be actually working on issues and dealing with things rather than going over the agenda. So if there's no objection, well, the agenda is open in any case, and so that's my suggestion. In terms of this morning, we had a session tomorrow, which Arlene was going to lead, on programming and how we can use it to and its role in outreach and developing a larger audience. And my suggestion is we do that this morning. So that Saturday morning session up until 11 o'clock, which is when we would have, we have a time certain to deal with issues around the affiliates program, would instead be done this morning. So my suggestion for this morning's agenda would be we will begin with Arlene's presentation, which she tells me will take about a half an hour. We have whatever discussion after that we want to have, extending, and I would say leave the time open on that for, I think we certainly need at least a half an hour. This is a subject of major interest to us. When we finish with that, we can do this topics workshop. The topics workshop was an attempt to essentially to work in parallel, to have simultaneous discussions which people can drop in and drop out of on essentially anything that people want and think is urgent to talk about. It can be more about programming, and Sean has indicated a willingness to talk about that. It can be issues in front of us, such as the resolution that I put forth on recalcitrant LSBs. It can be whatever you want to do. And the setup of it is that there are facilitators for the conversation. They stay put. We'll probably have to go back downstairs to do this since it needs really kind of circles of chairs, but I think we can do that in the back of the room downstairs. And the people who want to participate in the conversation participate as long as they want to, and then they move on to something else if they feel like it. When it's over, the people who are facilitating give a very rapid summary to back to all of us as to what happened. I've seen it work actually amazingly well, and so I thought it's something that we ought to try as a way of kind of processing the kinds of things that we need to in a slightly different way. The afternoon session is entirely an executive session. And I haven't put out the agenda for it, but it's 3 hours from 1:30 to 4:30, and it consists entirely of Arlene's report and Ricardo's report. It's an executive session. People are free to make motions during that period, but that's all that's scheduled for the moment. Ricardo, welcome. As far as the open sessions are concerned, the agenda as you've got it essentially is consists of taking reports from the committees first and then dealing with the unfinished business that we've had backed up now for several meetings. And then after that, there's some new business that was never on the agenda before. I think there's only two motions there, one from Mia on a motion to
one from the audit committee
rescind, and
oh yeah, that's right.
The motion from the audit committee will come up in your report, another to amend a motion we already passed, and after that, new business is open. So, my thinking was that whatever comes up during this meeting, we can put it on the agenda at that time, and it's in order to do so. That's my suggestion for the agenda. And again, as far as the open meetings are concerned, I didn't try to fit them into the boxes that we have scheduled. What I thought we'd do is to take them in order. So whenever we're finished with one, we take the next one. And the thinking about that was that it's very, very difficult to figure out and just how much time is going to be needed for any particular issue, and we wind up wasting a lot of time adjusting the time for the boundaries. So that was my thought. Is there any changes in the agenda? Okay, so I saw Sean, and then Campbell, and then Nia.
Yeah, because the KPFK LSB met last night and passed by a unanimous vote a motion on the FAP, financial accountability policy. Could we have that placed under new business?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Campbell.
Yes, you mentioned a topics workshop. Would any actions be voted on subsequent to that?
They can be in the subsequent open meeting. They wouldn't happen in the workshop, but anything that comes out of that you think needs to be done can be put on the open agenda, and we can act on it. I'm sorry, on the new business agenda, and we can act on it. And it can also be put on the executive agenda if there's something that's appropriate for that. Nia?
Yeah, sorry. I just wanted to get a recapitulation of what you said in terms of the agenda.
Yeah.
So from now until noon, this is our workshop, right?
Right.
Come to the whole.
There are two pieces to it.
Okay.
The first piece will be begun by Arlene, and the second piece is this topics workshop, which is as I described.
And then we go to lunch from noon to 1:30?
That's right.
And then from 1:30 to 4:30, that's the executive session?
Yes.
And then we resume at?
We're going to be picked up here at between 4:30 and 5 and taken to the station for a tour and for dinner. We'll be brought back. We'll leave from there at 7. We'll be back here at 7:30.
So from 7:30 to 9?
I think I said 9:30.
to 9:30. Okay.
That can be adjusted if as people please.
And during that 7:30 to 9 p.m., that's where we go to...
Oh, yeah, there's some other issues. I'm glad you mentioned
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we need to address... Okay.
There's the questions of when are we going to have open comments. And what I thought for that was to make those times certain. And I've suggested some times. So for this evening, at the back of the agenda, you'll find Friday at 8:30 p.m. for tonight's open session. On Saturday, we have essentially all day open session, and 3 p.m. and 8 p.m. for listener comment, and then on Sunday at 12 noon. So that was my suggestion.
Yeah. And when is the programming workshop?
Right, it's coming up
now.
Right now.
Okay. And we're just approving for today, correct?
Well, the way I set it up, you're approving the sequence, and okay. We'll get as much done today as we can.
Okay.
And we'll take them in order in the open session.
Okay.
Sounds like the plan.
I move approval.
Yeah.
Okay. Any objections? Excellent. Hearing none.
We'll work on it.
Let's begin then with Arlene. Arlene, would you introduce the subject to us and begin?
Well, what I really want to talk about is increasing marketing. Yes, I have to hold it. Sorry. I thought I was close enough. Sorry. I better move that cup of coffee out of the way. Increasing market share through programming. And I do want to start out by commending the programming committee. Any of you that were part of that Monday night, I thought it was perhaps the best committee meeting that I have participated in since I've been with Pacifica. And I really want to thank Jamie for the way he scheduled it. I thought that the consideration shown to me by putting me on the agenda first and thinking that you know, maybe I'd be there for 30 minutes or so, although I had planned to sit on the entire meeting, was extremely gracious. And the group was so lively and so participatory that we actually ended up spending an hour and 55 minutes on the topic that I'm going to be bringing to you today. And I thought that the discussion and what was brought to the table was so invigorating that I've come in here this morning just full of energy and vim and vigor and feeling like, boy, we can really do some things as a network if we just work together to make this happen. And that's what I'm talking about today. Very shortly, I'm going to introduce you to a program that's going to be introduced in Washington a week from Monday at the National Press Club. The kickoff will be. I met with one of the leaders of that program yesterday. I have a copy of the CD that I'm going to play in just a moment for each station, and we're posting it on AudioPort. We're also doing some interviews on AudioPort, and this will be, at least since I've been with the organization, our first attempt at something where we really provide a unified front behind something that really fits our mission, and I think something that is just, I don't see how anybody can object to trying to decrease childhood obesity and get a more fit nation. And that's what this project is really all about. WPFW has worked very hard on this and obtained a grant from UCLA to bring programming that will be played in some of the public schools in Washington on a daily basis, as well as going out over their airwaves, 10 minutes a day, 5 days a week. And so I know there's not much space in this room, but I'm hoping that I can persuade most of you to get up out of your chairs, and John will put the CD on, and let's move for the next 10 minutes.
Go Michelle Obama.
It's known as moving the board.
Hey, everybody, it's time for a fuel up, lift off, cumbia style. Get out of those chairs, step away from that desk, and let's move. Let's start off with a march to get us started. Left, right, left, right, keep going. All right, now, cumbia is a style of music and dance originating from South America, which has become popular throughout the world. Today, we're going to move with a little bit of flavor. Is that all right with y'all? All right. All right, there's no marching in cumbia, so let's spice this up a little bit. Add a little swing in those hips to that march. There you go. Yeah, swing those hips. That's more like it. All right, we're going to call this move here the Latin hips. We'll be using it a lot to transition between moves, so let's see what you got. You're going to be using this one a lot. Keep going. Very nice. All right, let's add some arms to the mix. Bring the arms from the sides and move them in small circles in sync with the hips. Good. Just like that. Nice and smooth. Okay, now raise both arms in the wide circle over the head and back down. And down, keep going. Up and down, one more time. Up and down. All right, let's shrug these shoulders one at a time, keeping in line with the rhythm. Left, right, left, right. Yeah, don't be shy. Show me a little attitude with those shoulders. Left, right, left, right. Left, right, left, right. Keep going. All right, back to Latin hips. All right, now we're going to wake up our feet. I want you to rise up on the toes one side at a time, kind of like you're taking a false step. Now, we're just stretching, so no need to go all the way up on the toes. It's a nice stretch of the calf. Here we go. Left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. Very good. Now, with each arm, I want you to reach up into the sky and stretch out your sides. Left, right, left, and right, left, right. Keep going. Left, right, left, and right. All right, go ahead back to Latin hips. All right, now it's time to stretch out my favorite, the hips. I want you to stand in a wide stance. I want you to stick out that rear slightly, and I want you to rock those hips to the left and right. Yeah, just a nice little rock. All right, fellas, you can do this too. Don't be shy. Keep rocking. Good. Now let's really open up these hips with some rolls. I want you to roll those hips nice and wide all the way around. Oh, hip movement. It's getting a little hot in here. Keep rolling. Speed it up a little. Left. Go. Roll. 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 All right, let's start to narrow these rolls. You're going to make the rolls smaller and smaller. You should feel your stomach muscles constricting when we do these narrow rolls. That's a trick to Latin dance. It's all in the hips and the abs. So keep on rolling. Good. All right, can you go any faster? Roll a little faster. There you go. Move those hips. Let's see what you got. Keep going. All right, you feel warm yet? I think you are. Let's shake everything out real quick. Then go to Latin hips. All right, let's get into these exercises. This first one's called the twister. Now, you're giving me Latin hips right now. But for the twister, what I want you to do is really embellish this movement and twist left to right in addition to the hips. There you go. Twist that body left and right. Now, your arms are going to naturally do a little motion, and I want you to just stick with that for now. Keep going. Twist out. Left, right, left, right, left, right, left. Keep going. Good. Now with the arms, you're going to bring them in and out. Almost kind of like you're touching your chest and then bringing them out one at a time. Left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. There you go. Keep going. Very nice. Latin hips. All right. right. You like that chord change? I like that, too. Okay, this next one is called the Cumbia Sidestep. If you remember from our previous liftoff, it's a simple sidestep. You're going to start off with the feet. You take a left step out, in the middle, right, in the middle. Left, middle, right, middle. Speed it up. Left, middle, right. Left, and right. Keep going. Left, right, left, and right. Get those hips moving. Keep those hips moving. Yeah. Yeah. Keep going. All right, let's get these arms in the play. We're going to bring the arms up to about shoulder level, bend at the elbows. Now, when you take that step out, arms going to follow you right there. Take that step out, elbows going to follow the step. Good. Yeah, you're going to put some weight on that step for more emphasis. Keep going. Left. Right. Left. Right. Left. Right. And left. Right. Let's see some attitude. Yeah. Good. One more time. Hips. Very good. This next one, we're going to do the same thing, but we're going to do it front and back. This one's called the Cumbia Front Step. We're going to start off with taking a left step forward, back in the middle. Right step forward, back in the middle. Left, middle, right, middle. Speed it up. Left, middle, right. Left, middle, right, middle. Keep going. Find those hips. Yes, Latin hips. Yeah. Keep those steps up. Good. Now with our arms, we're going to be in the same position. Same kind of idea. The elbow's going to follow the foot. That's going to force you to twist the torso a little bit. So take that step out. Mighty step out. Elbow follows suit. Yeah. Keep going. Very nice. Left and right. One more time. Left, right. Two more times. Left and right. Latin hips. Woo! All right. You guys want more? I'll give you some more. This next one's called the Mambo 3-Step, and this is my personal favorite. We're going to go ahead and start off with the leg movements first. And how it works is you're going to take 3 steps to the left, then bring the feet together, then take 3 steps to the right and bring the feet together. Let's try it out real slow. Left, 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 feet together, right, 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 feet together. Speed it up. Left, 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 together, right, together. Left, together, right, together. Once you got this, have fun with it. Remember those hips. Left, together, right, together. Very nice. Now what I want you to do, instead of bringing the feet together at the end, I want you to bring a knee up. Bring that knee up. And when you bring that knee up, go ahead and give a little pop with that hips. Pop. Pop. Step, 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 pop. Good. Don't be shy. Keep it going. All right, now we're going to change it up a little bit. Instead of giving us just a knee up, we're going to add a little shimmy to it. So shimmy, shake everything, and up. Shimmy, knee up. Shimmy, knee up. Shake everything. Shake it out. Up, up. Up, one more time. To this side. All right, this next one's called the chest push. What we're going to do now is we're going to put our hands, palm out in front of our chest. We're going to arch that back. We're going to push this chest forward and back. Up, forward, up, forward, back, forward, up, forward, back, forward, up, forward, back, forward, up. Now, once you get that, if you want to speed it up, you can, or you can keep it just like that. I'm going to leave it up to you. Push and up, push, up, push, and up. All right, let's take take a few moments to do a quick cool down. What I want you to do is I want you to widen out your stance, lift the arms up nice and slow, breathe in, and bring them down nice and slow. More time. Up. And down. All right, there you have it. The Cumbia Liftoff. I want to thank you very much for your time, and I'll see you next time.
Sorry about that, John. This is something that I think can bring a positive image to Pacifica, can help overcome some of the negatives we've attracted in the past. Obviously, it's not the only thing that's part of our mission. It's just one of the many things. And if you think about it, if we have a fitter nation, statistics show that people are more peaceful, that they're easier to get along with when they're more fit. One of the statistics that came out of Dr. Yancey's investigation was that people in Los Angeles average 6 to 9 minutes a day of exercise. So, as she pointed out, if they added one 10-minute exercise break, that would double or triple the exercise they're currently getting. Just think what that would do for us as a nation if everybody did that. And we talk all the time about the problem of obesity, especially in our children. Well, you know, it's great to blame the fast food, and obviously that's part of the problem. The hormones and the dairy products and the meats are obviously part of the problem. We can all work to make some changes there, but the big difference that we can all do is to get into some exercise. And one of the things that Grigsby was telling me about when he was in the, I think in Korea, and LeVarne worked for a while in Japan, and they both had the experience of being in shopping centers or other places, and all of a sudden over the loudspeaker would come a 10-minute exercise break, and everybody would stop what they were doing and do what we just did. And so that's the idea behind this project, to start off with getting some of it in the schools and then see if we can also, and there are a number of workplaces around the country that have actually adopted Dr. Yancey's concept, which is called It's Recess. And so what we have sent out, I sent out the press release that was developed jointly with the project. Dr. Yancey was in Washington a couple of weeks ago meeting with Joni Eisenberg from WPFW. I imagine Grigsby was involved, and also on the committee with Michelle Obama for working on the Childhood Obesity Project, and she will be participating as an active member of that council going forward. So, you know, the opportunities for us are tremendous if we can get on board with this. I sent out the press release, I think it was night before last, and yesterday Ursula sent out just a beautiful version of it to the affiliates, asking them to get involved. We will be posting this first day 10-minute piece on the audio port so that stations can pick it up. I've asked as many stations as possible to air it either at the kickoff time, which is 1 o'clock on Monday, May 3rd, or any other time that day. And if they can't come up with a time that day, to try to come up with some time during the week that they could give it that 10 minutes. In addition, we will have an interview posted with Dr. Yancey and the, I've forgotten her name right now, but the head of the WNBA, the commissioner. She will be participating in that interview, and she's a supporter. I watched the video version of this morning, and I debated whether to bring the video or the audio. But first of all, I wanted you all to experience the audio, because that's what people who are listening to the radio will be experiencing. And secondly, the video is led by WNBA team players, and it's even a little more vigorous, so I thought we might prefer the audio version. But it is available. And she's also going to make available for Pacifica to distribute at the Grassroots Conference copies of this to affiliate stations who may not have picked it up from AudioPort, so we'll have
copies there, and if we don't have enough copies, we can make arrangements and we'll mail them out to stations. So once again, I'm going to get some kind of a sticker printed to go on the case so that it mentions that this is a project of Pacifica in conjunction with the Let's Move. And whatever we can do to further the positive image of the Pacifica name, I think, is one of the ways that we can work to increase audience share. Just think, if we could get just a couple of schools in every one of our listening areas to participate in this project, and we had kids going home and telling their parents, oh, well, listen, this is what we're hearing on WBAI or on WPFW or KPFA or KPFK or KPFT in our school, you know, on Wednesday at 1 o'clock. And they say, why don't you listen, Mommy or Daddy? You know, there are all kinds of possibilities and implications for what we can do with something like this. And I think it also leads into what I've been talking about with many people around the country in terms of programming issues, and that is one of the ways that we can think of increasing market share is by partnering with various organizations, groups, movements around the country, and getting involved not only in reporting on what happens, but actually being actively involved in the lead-up. We certainly have seen what happens when Fox News does this. Look at what the tea parties that they've developed, and basically that's what they've come out of. There's no reason that Pacifica can't be equally forceful in our impact on the country if we really put our thinking brains together and work to come up with ideas that we can all support and get on board with. And obviously, not everything we do will interest everyone, and not everything will please everyone, but there are an awful lot of things that, you know, back to the old Lincoln comment, you can't please all of the people all of the time, but you can please all of the people some of the time. And so that's what we, I think, need to try to do. It's well known that for every 10 listeners that we have in community or public radio, it's a pretty stable figure that one person will be a contributor. So even if we don't have arbitrons, if we look at the number of people that are contributing to a station, we have a pretty good idea how many people are listening. And unfortunately, our numbers are pathetically small. And I think that one of the ways, again, as I just said, that we can increase this is by working with other organizations. One of the things that I know a couple of stations are doing is when they are forming their community advisory boards, they're looking for organizations to send representatives to the board. And by getting that kind of partnership, a representative from whatever progressive organization that shares their values might be, then they've got someone who's also carrying back information about the station to their organization. And that's one of the ways that we can accomplish outreach without spending a penny, without doing anything real special other than hopefully sharing our mission and sharing our programming and sharing our brainstorming in a very positive way. I've been doing a lot of talking and questioning since I've been on board. My last trip to New York, I finally made it back to my favorite restaurant in New York, Angelica's Cafe. And while I was there, I sat at the community table, and so I got into a conversation with the woman next to me, and she said, oh, what are you here for? And I said, Pacifica. And she said, oh, WBAI, I contribute to WBAI, and I voted in the last election. I said, great. What do you like about the station, and what would you like to see different? And she literally gave me a rundown, starting with, well, I set my alarm clock to get up and hear Amy Goodman. And then I didn't think I was going to like those programs that they put on that came out of Los Angeles. And she said, I really want to be sure that we preserve African-American voices and New York voices in New York. And so I really thought I was going to tune out on those. But, you know, I've been listening to them, and I don't agree with everything they say, but that's a really good strip. And then I stay tuned until noon. And at noon, I tune over, or I change the dial to wherever Gary Nolas carried at noon. And she said, I wish you still had him on WBAI, and then I wouldn't have to go to another station. And then she went on through the rest of the programming, and she said, I wish I'd known I was going to meet you, because I would have brought my notes, and I could have given you better ideas. But she said, the biggest thing that bothers me is, she said, you know, when I'm listening, I really don't want to hear about what's going on at the station in terms of politics and negative things and so forth. She said, I want to hear reports on what's going on in the city, what's going on in the world. I want to hear programming that's easy to listen to. It may be dealing with very serious subjects. She said, I like that. She says, that's what Amy Goodman does. But she said, I don't want to hear it in a whiny way. She was a very bright woman. I really enjoyed talking to her. We sat there for a good hour and a half and practically shut down the restaurant. But to some degree, she's really reflective of the people that I've been talking to around the country. I heard similar comments in Washington. I didn't actually get out and meet too many people when I was in Houston that were away from the station, so I can't say that I talked to too many people there. And I haven't in Los Angeles either, but the other day I took a long lunch in order to run a few errands in Berkeley, and I ended up at three different places where someone said, oh, you've just moved here? Yes. Well, why did you move? For a new job. Oh, what's your new job? Executive Director of Pacifica. Oh, that's with KPFA. Oh, you're in the midst of chaos. I used to listen to that station. And so then I said, well, why did you stop listening? And each one of them, in a different way, said, I got tired of hearing all of their internal battles on the air, and I wanted to hear more information, maybe some music once in a while, but I don't want that kind of negativity, and so that's why I don't listen. Now, that's a very small sampling, but it sure does seem to be pervasive through many people that have been listeners and no longer listen to our stations, or people that are still listening but that wish we'd change. So I think that's another thing that we need to look at when we're looking at our programs is, are they presenting the material in a positive, informative light? If it's music, are we presenting music that fits with our mission and is whatever talking we're doing with it, does it enhance that in some way? Are we bringing, you know, maybe some information about the musician, maybe about the movements that the musician is involved with, rather than saying, oh, well, you know, our board met the other night and somebody assaulted somebody else and I'm really disgusted with the way we behave, or whatever else is put on the airwaves, or whatever the issues may be. And so I think that's one thing that we could all carry back as concerned listeners of our stations and start making a little noise about that, and maybe we can work to change the climate a bit. Another thing I think that we need to do more of, and I would like to get comments back from you all when we open this up for discussion, but I think we need more training for our programmers. In some cases, I think we've gotten too far away from using our volunteers for programming, and in many cases, they could do it. Now, some of our stations are doing that very admirably, but some of them are not. But in any event, we need to do some training in terms of good delivery, the technical skills for whatever technical parts they're doing, whether it's editing or operating the board. There's nothing worse on radio than dead airspace. There's nothing worse than having people fumbling around and kind of, oh, that machine didn't work right. Oh, well, the engineers around here never fix things. And, you know, giving that kind of a diatribe as you're going. Even if it's true, the listening audience doesn't want to know about it. You need to deal with it internally, or we need to deal with it internally. And we also need to do a lot of training in terms of effective pitching for our fund drives. So those are the three areas of training that at least I've identified. And I would hope that we could develop some modules that could be done either by phone or be done and carried out by individual stations so that we don't have to, you know, pay for a lot of this. We have a lot of people within the network that are experts in these areas and that could help us with putting something together. And I think that that could improve what we deliver on the airwaves, too. I think we also need to remember, whenever we're thinking, that the reason we exist is we are local radio. And that doesn't mean that we only cover local issues, but it does mean that the strength of our radio is that we have local programmers that are delivering it. If you've got a music program, there's actually a DJ sitting in that station that is spinning the music for you. If we're delivering a public affairs program, with the exception of a few that come through the network, like Amy Goodman and Free Speech Radio News, the rest of it is produced locally. And even when we're playing those programs, we have someone at the station locally that's responsible for the programming that can pick up a phone or that can answer questions or email back to someone after the show, whatever. So we need to remember that, because I think that's what really distinguishes us from the rest of radio, from internet radio, from the satellites, where, you know, if you are a fan of Cajun music, you can listen to Cajun music all day. But you're never going to really hear anybody from your local community delivering it. You're never going to get that local flavor that's part of it. We need to think about what will keep people tuned in, and I don't mean that we change our values or that, but we still have to take into account what our listeners are interested in, both in terms of the kinds of programming, but also what their listening patterns are. A lot of people listen when they're driving to and from work. And do they want a mishmash of something different every day? Or do they want to know that they're going to get something similar every day during that time period, even though it may be delivered by different voices or in different ways and different specific topics? You know, maybe it's news all the way across. Maybe it's a public affairs segment. Maybe it's music with news breaks in between, whatever. But they're looking for some kind of consistency. I think that's probably true for most people also when they're listening during the day, if they're able to put the radio on in their office or place of work, that they don't want to have to think about, oh, well, today I've got the Indonesian hour, and tomorrow it's a public affairs program, and the next day it's hip-hop and whatever. They're looking for something that they can kind of work through the week with. Where in the evenings, people are attuned to television. They're used to thinking about weekly specials, and same thing with the weekends, and so those are good times to put on things that we do once a week. Just a thought, and I'm open to, you know, lots of discussion on these things, but I'm throwing them out hoping to get some feedback from you. One of the issues that has come up is that we have Amy as one of the strengths, certainly, of this network, and that it would be nice if we had three or four programs that were available, that stations could avail themselves of if they chose, but certainly wouldn't have to. And that would be something to work for. They might be something that comes out of some of our stations. Some of our stations are doing some excellent programming, or they might be some new things that we develop. One of the things that constantly comes to my attention is the possibility of us getting Al Jazeera available. I would like some more feedback on that. I've heard that in just about every city I go to, and I've also heard some strong opposition in a couple of places. But I think it's a topic worth exploring. Another thing that one person brought to my attention, and I thought it was quite creative, was the idea of expanding. We certainly need to improve our websites. I get disheartened every time I go to the Pacifica website and try to find something. And we need better links between the Pacifica website and our stations. We need someone who really, really does a good job designing it And as much as it's important that we post our meetings and we have the minutes available and we have the streaming available, I would say that for the majority of people, if we want people to go to our websites regularly, that's not what they're going for. And so we need to have other things available and just make it easy for them to find those if that's what they want or what they're looking for. But anyway, one person said to me, you know, one of the things that bothers me is there's not enough radical talk. You're not representing enough of the sizable but smaller groups in the community. And I realize you can't have a radio station for each one of these areas, but why couldn't you have internet radio that was covering these? They were talking particularly in the Bay Area and said, so why couldn't you have, you know, a radical talk show where it was radical talk pretty much 24/7? Why couldn't you have a Mandarin program or Mandarin station that would serve the Eastern Asian populations? Why couldn't you have a Mexican? And then he said, not one Mexican, you need two Mexican because there's a North population and a South population and they're wildly different, you know, et cetera. And so, and he said, you know, I don't think anybody in commercial radio is providing that service. And he said, I really don't think it would be terribly expensive. Now, there is the issue of bandwidth. You know, there are expenses involved. These aren't things we can launch immediately, but I really did think it brought some interesting things to the table. And as we move forward into more availability of the internet, as communities get into being Wi-Fi communities, we're going to begin to see internet radio in cars. So I thought that was a creative way to look at it. The other thing, since we're talking about the website, is we need to get the resources to make it more interactive and to drive people to it on a regular basis, not just once in a great while when they're looking for something. Most of all, we need to remember that our first and foremost business is radio, and that our commitment is to progressive issues, to peace. I believe that when it started out, it wasn't just peace, but it was also education, and education of children, which really ties in with the It's Let's Move project in a very tangible way. And so it's important that we deliver exciting sound, that we speak with passion, and that we make radio appealing to people in the country. I think that we can be the alternative to Fox and CBS, and that's where I'd like to see us go. I'd like to entertain discussion and questions and so forth.
Joe. Then you.
Personal privilege, sir?
Yes.
Oh. Thank you.
With respect to the new fitness ethos, I want to note that and Arlene beat me to the treadmill this morning. So I was going to put that out there. And I, you know, as you were talking, Arlene, I just jotted down some random notes. So there's not really necessarily a question, it's just thought. I guess starting towards the end, it seems one of our challenges is that you know, so Pacifica is radio, but one of the things that's happening, I think, with new media is that people are differentiating less and less between the different mediums, whether it's print, video, audio. You know, people will pull their information in whatever form it appears. When you go online, you know, you'll either watch a video or something, or hear an audio or something, or read text. Pacifica programs will sometimes pop up on websites, you know, whether it's Information Clearinghouse, there'll be an article, and then next there'll be a clip of an audio of a radio show, about something. And so people, so in other words, part of, I guess part of our challenge is, as you mentioned, with internet radio soon appearing in cars and commute, the commute time being one of our major listening segments, is to meet that challenge, and certainly revamping our websites so that it's exciting and interesting to people is something we need to do. I mean, if you go to, say, the Financial Times website, you can read articles or watch video of an interview with so-and-so. So that's certainly something we need to do. In terms of market share, you know, and partnering as a way, and partnering as a way of increasing market share, as we've discussed, I think Al Jazeera is a brilliant idea. Some people I know at the Station Resource Group, and I've just forwarded the email to the board, had mentioned looking at Radio Bilingue, for example, which is currently an internet radio station.
Sorry, could you repeat that? Radio what?
Bilingue.
Bilingue.
I'm
sorry.
Bilingue. Right. Which, you know, they would be interested. I mean, in other words, there could be some a symbiotic or mutually beneficial relationship there, for example, if we were to pursue that. One of the things, obviously, that we are all very familiar with, we come to this crossroads several times with Pacifica. We need to look at ways to improve programming, revamp programming, but you know, how do you get there in terms of getting buy-in from programmers and staff to change the grid in ways that might affect them. One of the ways that I've always thought about airtime to some extent, and because of the new media platforms, that's less important, is less of a close analogy, but it's still there to the extent that airtime is prime, is to think about it in terms of, think about it the way people may think about land reform. You know, there are people with large tracts of land, people with less. How do we share? You know, how do we use that? Right. So that's one thing. And we've at KBFA had a really interesting experience with that, or at least we did for a while with the program console, where initially programmers on the program console were rather hostile to the idea. But over time, they got buy-in, especially when it became clear that they had a role in this, in making decisions. So maybe certainly starting with discussions with programmers at the ground level would be certainly one way to approach that. And then something I want to touch on, and I hope or expect we'll get into some more. Is, you know, what to do about differences of opinion about programming content. You know, there was an article that appeared in the LA Times recently where a programmer expressed, you know, as is that programmer's right, strong opinions about, you know, other programming that's on the station, and it's an issue that we haven't quite gotten to grips with. I think that sometimes there's not enough discussion. For example, there's a show on comes out of KCLW called Left, Right, and Center, that's where programmers discuss different viewpoints along the spectrum. One of the things that we don't have within Pacifica is that even amongst progressives, there are different tendencies. So if there was a way for that discussion to happen in a constructive way, as opposed to programmers sniping at each other or putting each other down within their airtime, I think that would be one way to move that forward. But anyway, that's something that I'm hoping we can address in some way. And those are my thoughts.
You know, on that line, and I think this came up the other night at the programming meeting. It's come up with a number of groups that I've talked to, and I sent it out to the station GMs and to the program directors managers whose emails I had the other day. But this was one of our problems at WMNF when I first got involved. And a big thing was that people felt like they owned airtime. Now, I don't think we're ever going to completely overcome that, but over a period of time, I worked with the staff, and we developed a procedure and a calendar by which we evaluate programming every 2 years, and it's not evaluating the people who are doing the programs. That's the program director's job. But it's looking at, are we meeting the needs of the community? What are we missing? What should we have? And it starts with an all-station meeting, which means that programmers and volunteers and staff are all invited to participate in a brainstorming session on this. And believe it or not, they're pretty peaceful meetings. I mean, there's, you know, some people that have strong feelings, but they did a good job, managed to get it together. When I first came on board, it had been one of those situations where a group of programmers had gone to the newspapers and everything had blown sky high because of some changes that the program director had made. And so out of this, we came up with this system where every 2 years it's mandated to look at that programming grid. And then once that initial discussion takes place, the word is put out that people can submit proposals for programs, and they need to submit either one where they may be substituted for somebody, or a tape that they come in and do, that, or a CD more likely now, that shows what they could do, and give a summary of what that program would be over the next several months. And then there's a committee that's been set up that includes some volunteers, some programmers, some staff, a board representative, a community advisory board representative. It's only 8 people, but they get together and hash this out. But the final decision still belongs with the program director. And at a given point in this calendar, he comes out with his proposed schedule. But one of the mandates is that any program that will be seriously affected by his new schedule, you know, if he's moving it an hour one way or the other, that's not seriously affected. But if he's taking it off the air, he has to have notified the people involved that this may happen, even if it's not 100% definite, so that they have a chance at least to present their case before everybody else knows what's happening. And then once that program grid is accepted, then everybody has to apply for whatever programs they want to do. It doesn't matter. If you've been doing that show for 20 years, if you want to host it for another 2 years, you have to apply and say why you should be the person that continues doing it. And then, again, the same thing applies, that if he's thinking of changing a program, or he has to talk to that person before he's made the public announcement, and then the new schedule is announced. And many years, it's only a change of 2 or 3 programs, but occasionally there'll be a major block change or a major time period change. A few years ago, I came in and said, you know, I've noticed based on Arbitrons that we've lost an awful lot of our African-American audience, and I want to know why. Well, it turned out there were some very understandable reasons, which were that a couple of stations had come in that were doing 24-hour programming that appealed to that audience, and so that was part of the reason. But part of it was that we had also slipped away from some of the programming that appealed to that audience, and out of that came a 4-hour block on Sunday mornings of public affairs programming that is delivered by the African-American community, appeals to the African-American community, but is listened to probably in greater numbers by the rest of the audience. Maybe the percentage of African-Americans that listen is a little higher than the demographics in the area to that particular block, but there's certainly a huge number of the, you know, core white audience that founded the station that listened to that programming and love it and defend it and support it. So you never know for sure what's going to come out of discussions like that. And it has, I think, you know, tweaked that attitude of program ownership. So if anybody would like me to send them a copy of that, that programming, it's part of the programmer's agreement when the schedule is identified in it. And there's also a volunteer handbook that goes with it that kind of spells it out. So
we'd definitely like to see that.
Okay.
Yes. Just forward it to the entire PNB.
Okay,
yes.
I'll send it to the PNB. As I say, I already sent it to the GMs and to those program directors where I had names, and a few other people that I knew were interested or had asked me for it along the way.